In our gospel today, we hear of a scholar of the law who stood up to test Jesus. Normally in the scriptures, whenever a scholar of the law or a Pharisee or a scribe is mentioned or one of the Jewish leaders, it's normally never good. These are normally not the good guys in the story, and especially when they stand up to test Jesus, it's normally to trick him. And so it never seems to go well with scholars of the law in the scriptures. And yet, somehow ironically, I've now spent the last 3 years of my life slaving in a library to become a scholar of the law. The Pope doesn't like scholars of the law. Jesus apparently doesn't like scholars of the law. It doesn't seem right. And yet, here I am, a scholar of the law. So maybe it's just because of this that I'm a little sympathetic, that I'd like to think that this particular scholar of the law in today's gospel is not one of the bad guys. I actually think we could learn some things from this particular lawyer. So I'd like to draw out a few of those things today. First, notice that when this lawyer runs up to Jesus, he's got a question. Imagine you got to ask Jesus one question, and the question that this lawyer wants to know is, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now that is a great question. In fact, that's the question. That really is the question we should ask when we do anything. Will this get me closer to heaven? How do I get to heaven? Think of all the questions that we have in our life and day. We have questions about, how can I get more money? How can I become more powerful? How can I have more fun? How can I maximize the happiness and pleasure in my life? All decent questions. And yet, if we don't keep the main question in mind, none of those other questions matter. We ought to be thinking all the time, how can I get to heaven? And is this thing that I want to do, this other question that I have, does it help get me closer to heaven or not? So the first thing we can learn from this lawyer is that he's got the priorities right. The one question that is at the foremost of his mind, how do I get eternal life? How do I get to heaven? So that's the first thing. Have the right question. Ask the right question. How do I get to heaven? But now secondly, notice what happens. Jesus, he engages him in a way that I kind of like as a lawyer, because it's almost like he meets this lawyer right on his own terms. The lawyer has a question, and Jesus responds by saying, what's in the law? How do you read it? It's exactly the things lawyers would do. Let's pull out our law books and look for canon number 1752 and see what it says. And then the next thing, the lawyers, you get two of them together, you're going to have two different opinions, at least, maybe three. And you're going to talk back and forth. Well, how do you read it? Well, what do you read? You see, Jesus is engaging this lawyer right on his own level. Let's have a little legal debate. But we see that the lawyer, he's got the answer right away. He asked the question, but it seems like he's already got the answer. He says, well, you love the Lord your God with all your heart, your being, your strength, your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. He's got it right there. It's straight from the law. He knows the text. He quotes it. So why did he ask the question? Well, I think what's going on here is, notice it says that he stood up to test Jesus. Now, I mentioned that a lot of times when people are said to test Jesus, it means they don't have a serious question. They're making something up to try to make Jesus look bad. I don't think that's what's going on here. I think this little back and forth, the reason he asked this question, even though he thinks he knows the answer, he's trying to kind of size Jesus up a little bit. Does he think the way I think? Are we on the same team? What kind of teacher is this? But it's interesting because he seems to get what he wanted. I think he gets to the point where now he kind of starts to trust Jesus a little bit. So now that he's kind of played this little game, now he goes on and he's ready to ask another question, because now he trusts Jesus. So maybe that's the second thing we can learn from this lawyer. Number one, ask the right question. But number two, ask the right person for the answer. He tested Jesus to find out, can I trust him? Is this someone that when I ask a big important question like, how do I get to heaven, is this the right person to ask? Can I trust the answer? That's what this little back and forth, I think, is all about. So ask the right question, But then make sure you ask the right person the answer. Where do we normally go, I think, sometimes with these big questions in life? Sadly, I think a lot of times, well, we go to, well, what's everybody else saying? What's the media saying? Well, what did the famous celebrity person say on TV? What did they write in the papers? What are they telling me I ought to think? Because I don't want to be different than everybody else. So what's the mass going with? And I think sometimes that's where we get our answers from. What's the general consensus? Brothers and sisters, I would contend that's a terrible place to go to get the answer to an important question like, what do I need to do to gain eternal life? I think rather a better place to go is where this lawyer went. He went to Jesus. He calls him teacher, rabbi, meaning he's willing to be a student, to be taught. Rather than going to just the secular media or the mass crowds to get answers to like important questions about how do I live a good, holy, moral life, we should go to Jesus. Especially we should go to his church. That's why he left us the church. So when we have big, important questions, we can get the right answer. Now, you don't just immediately learn to trust the church. This lawyer had to kind of feel Jesus out. So I encourage you, yeah, test the Catholic faith. Ask, does it make sense? And you'll find, as I often found, that I've got all these questions. I'm a very intellectual kind of person. I question everything. My degree is in computer science, as I said. I'm a scientific person. So, you know, I want to know answers. Does this make sense, what the church is teaching? I want to test it. I can tell you that I've tested it. I've tested it over and over, and I can find no better answers to what ails our world, what is wrong with me and my own problems, than the church and her answers. She gives answers that have been tested over 2,000 years. So, like this lawyer who learns to test and then trust Jesus, I encourage you to test the faith, test the church, but you will find that it's worthy of trust. And then you can move on to that next step, where the lawyer now asks a question that he doesn't know the immediate answer to. Just like we might have questions of the church that we don't know the answer to. Now the lawyer wants to know, okay, well, we both know the law. And the law says, sure, love your neighbor as yourself. But I've got a question for you, teacher. Who is this neighbor that the law talks about? Now, probably he had some idea in mind because the law talks about, well, your neighbor is your fellow Israelite, your countryman, the one that's like you. Okay, true. But now look what Jesus does. He sees that he's open to maybe go even beyond just what's written in the law. So he does what in legal teaching we would say is he offers a case study. He gives a situation. Rather than just say, well, here's neighbor, this is what it means, he allows the lawyer here to come to his own conclusion. So he tells a story. And that's where we get this beautiful parable of the Good Samaritan. He allows the lawyer to kind of put himself in the story, to judge and analyze. There's this man beaten by the side of the road, left half dead. Priest goes by, does nothing. A Levite goes by, does nothing. And a Samaritan, someone who is not fitting the definition of neighbor according to the law, treats him with mercy, picks him up, does all kinds of amazing things to heal him and bring him back to his health. And then Jesus, rather than answer the question, he asked him a question. He says, well, now, who in the story do you think was neighbor? And notice that the scholar of the law gets it. He's like, well, it would be the one who treated him with mercy. And now the question is answered. Who's my neighbor? Well, the one who treats others with mercy. The one who is in need of mercy anywhere is my neighbor. And now see what's happened. He's allowed this lawyer to go from the written text of the law and has expanded his heart, really, to understand more than just the law, but what's behind the whole law. That is what is open for us too, brothers and sisters. When we trust the church to give us the answers that we need, God's not going to leave us just with, do this, don't do that, and here's the black and white. Do we have to follow the rules? Yes, we need to follow the rules. The law is there for our happiness. But Jesus wants to get our trust after we've tested it. And then he wants to bring us even deeper, to expand, to see with his heart the reason for the whole law in the first place. That's why the final kind of secret to this parable is that even though, yes, we've got important questions, yes, we might ask the right person, we might even trust that, yes, the church teaches what we should do, then we don't do it. We're like, yeah, God, I got your rules, but in this case, I got this one, God. I don't like what you have to say about this, so I'm going to go do this. And just in this one little area, God, I'm not going to let you in there. I'll do my own thing here. I'm doing it my way. You know, they say that the elevator music on the way down to hell in the elevator is going to be, I did it my way. Because that's what we do. We see all the beautiful teaching of the church, and we say, yeah, but not me, not this case. I'll do it my way. Well, what happens when we do that? We end up, like this man in the gospel, in a ditch on the side of the road, half dead in our sin. That's why the church is always seen in this parable, this man that gets beaten up in the ditch and lies on the side of the road. Amazingly, the church fathers always said, well, that's us. That's Adam, dead in his sin, kicked to the side of the road. That's us when we give into our sin. We're not on the path anymore with Jesus. We're out in the ditch on the side of the road, half dead in our sin. But amazingly, the church fathers then say that guy in the ditch, notice who gets him. The Samaritan who comes by, they liken him to Jesus. Jesus picks us up out of the ditch, puts us on his own animal, and where does he take us? Well, the inn. That's the church. We get taken by Jesus out of the ditch, brought lovingly back to the inn of the church, binds our wounds, pours oils on them, heals us in the sacrament of penance and the Eucharist, and restores us to health, and pays the debt, pays all our debt. Jesus did that on the cross for us. We start to see now how that little parable even opens up into things way bigger than even just what's written in the gospel today. And that's just a little bit of the Catholic life. When we trust Jesus and give it to him, they're not going to be perfect. There'll be plenty of times where we say, yeah, I got it, God, not you, me, and we're in a ditch. Well, the moral of the Catholic life is don't stay in the ditch. Jesus will come get you. He said, come back to confession. Confess your sins and I'll bind you up and pour oil on you and take you back to the inn. What a beautiful thing that is when we learn to trust the church, to accept the teaching, but even when we fail, to know that God would be completely justified if he just wanted to say, yeah, I see you down in the ditch there. How'd that work out for you? Your way, huh? Yeah, now you're in a ditch. Look at you. You deserve it. Well, God could do that. But notice the moral of the whole parable is the one who is neighbor is the one who acts with mercy. That's our God. He acts with mercy. And if you get that, now you get what the whole law is all about. It's about helping us be happy and God showing us mercy. So this, I don't know, the scholar of the law, maybe I'm a little sympathetic being a scholar of the law myself now, but I don't know, I hope that helps a little bit, that maybe we can see that even from a scholar of the law and the scripture, there are a few things we can learn to help us. Number one, ask the right question. How do I get eternal life? That's the question. Ask the right question. Secondly, ask the right person. Don't just go gossiping around looking for answers out of nobody. Find somebody you trust. The church. Test it well. And then trust. Ask the right person. Ask the church. And finally then, when you learn to trust, allow God to expand your heart, your horizon. Learn to see beyond just the law. So, yeah, the important question then. What must we do to have eternal life? Well, I think a good start would be to do what this scholar of the law does in our gospel today.